Now, we've just been talking about this appalling behaviour by the administration in China, and now we're facing the full brunt of their anger. And we're not alone, as pointed out earlier on. There's, I don't know, 15 or 16 other countries just in the last 12 months have copped the brunt of their retaliation as well. Well, they're calling it retaliation. Just quickly from the Australian, I think yesterday, no, day before, it says Australia's relationship with China has sunk to its lowest point in 50 years after Scott Morrison lashed out at Beijing over the use of that repugnant and appalling fake image of an Australian soldier slitting the throat of an Afghan child. It talks about the dramatic escalation of tensions between Canberra and Beijing. I won't go on with all the details of it. The escalation of tensions means that the trade between the two countries, or Australia's trade to China, has disappeared virtually, is about to disappear if it hasn't already on various fronts. Now, most people, of course, are very down in the mouth. You talk to people who are producing some of these goods. It's not just coal. I mean, there's so many agricultural products, too, that now are under a cloud. Our wine industry is very conscious of being, well, decimated by these decisions out of Beijing. So they're just examples of the penalties we may be facing. However, I was just listening to a discussion with Michael Guerin from AgForce the other day, and he talked about the positives. He said, listen, we produce some of the best agricultural products in the world, things that are very much in demand. They're the finest in some cases, so that countries elsewhere in the world that maybe have not been approached in recent years because there was no need, because China was taking so much, there'll be doors that will, he believe, be opened because of the sheer quality, the outstanding quality of the produce that emerges from our agricultural lands in this country. He's on the line somewhere. Yes, he is. Michael Guerin is the chief executive of AgForce. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, John.
It was a very upbeat account you gave the other day. I can't remember what day it was, but you said, listen, we've got some advantages here. We're going to have to find alternatives, but there'll be some countries that may be very happy to open a door to our quality products.
Absolutely, John. We sometimes take it for granted. We have done for generations, and I think on your show before I've said, you know, for two generations at least now, we have been able to walk into a supermarket in Australia, and the food and fibre that sits in front of you is of the best, of as good a quality as anywhere in the world, and it's always there. It's locally grown. It's run to some of the best environmental standards in the world. Our animal welfare is something we can be incredibly proud of. So when you have a market that has a hiccup, like we have at the moment with one of our biggest markets, then it's a chance to think about what we can do better to be better prepared for next time. Mm-hmm. And as a country, we have the absolute privilege of some of the finest food and fibre in the world. Growth is demand is growing post-COVID. So let's use it as a chance to diversify our market, mm-hmm. think where else we can sell our product. And indeed, barley, for example, in India has been a great news story since we had some of the challenges with barley into China. So just a great chance to reset, to broaden our markets, be proud of what we produce, and take that to the world with confidence, John, is the view we have in industry.
Now, barley was, one of the first to be knocked on the head by this Chinese dictatorship. Give us some other examples that might be in their sights or that have already become identified as likely to lose the open door to China.
Yeah, John, we've heard about beef, we've heard about wine, we've heard about seafood. There'll be no doubt more to come if the present trends continue. We sell an enormous array of product to China, and it's one of our biggest markets, and indeed with a lot of our commodities, our biggest market. So if present trends continue, we need to assume, certainly for the short term, that we'll be selling very little product to China, which was, again, one of our biggest markets. And barley's a great example. When we got the shock of discovering that one of our biggest markets may close on us, we were forced to look further afield, and lo and behold, we found new markets for our products. So we should be doing that across the board. And even if the China thing didn't come along, John, as I said before, we have some incredibly good product, world-class produce, produced in a very good way. Mm. So we should always be looking to diversify our markets. And this shock has just given us the chance to do that. We want the China market to recover, but let's look for other markets as well. Let's build that diversification. Let's build our export earnings from agriculture. And certainly the state of Queensland has a chance to really lift their earnings through that activity.
Now, the beef producers copped it very early indeed. Talk to us for a moment about the quality we're up against there. I mean, the quality of our beef and the price of our beef. Are we competitive in other parts of the world apart from China?
We are, John. We're competitive globally. We have a high-quality product. So it's a niche market offering. And agriculture in Australia looks like a big industry to us, but on a global scale, it's not. So we're not a mass-produced, large, you know, customer segment producer. We are a niche producer of fine quality produce, and we so therefore we have a premium for our product, which recognises the value of that product, and so we can look at those niche markets. For example, John, just Southeast Asia, just in Southeast Asia, on our northern doorsteps are 10 large economies. Indonesia itself, you know, in the G20, it'll be in the G7 within the next 15 years, a powerful, big and growing economy, wealth of the population growing. They'll be looking for more and more of that high-quality product. You run up into other places like Vietnam that haven't traditionally been strong markets for our quality beef. As those countries grow in wealth and the population grows in its disposable income, they'll be looking for those higher-quality products that you and I take for granted in Australia, like the steak once a week. And that's just Southeast Asia and northern neighbourhood. You go to broader Asia, you've got a third of the world economic activity. You've got all of those countries that, without exception, don't have the land we have to produce the food in the way that we do. And you haven't even touched on Europe and the US and other places. So an enormous set of opportunities across many different markets. And if you just start at home, as I said, Southeast Asia, 10 large economies, some of the biggest ones in the world in places like Indonesia, some of the fastest growing in the world in places like Vietnam and Thailand. Yeah. Enormous opportunity for us to have a reset, but be confident of what we're producing, John, and be confident we can find those markets and sell it for a premium.
This is really encouraging, very much an upbeat account. Can I just ask you, though, and I know this isn't particularly your interest or responsibility, the coal industry, they're facing a situation now where I think there are 60-odd coal transport ships anchored off the coast of China. What do you believe to be their future?
Oh, John, you're right. I'm not an expert in that commodity or in that industry, but can I just say the following, John? If like the food industry, you know, one of the big lessons in this for us is to diversify your markets. I don't know what the demand for that product is elsewhere in the world, but we have a lot of it. So is it a chance for broader Australia to think about its markets and diversification of those markets? What else can we do with rural product back at home? One of the other things we reflect on a lot in the food industry is, you know, how much more of the processing can be done in this country, creating jobs and economic activity here before it heads offshore. Is that a chance for coal, John? I don't know.
Yeah. I've got to say, Michael, this is very encouraging. Great to talk to you today. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
How refreshing is that? His name's Michael Guerin, G-U-E-R-I-N, I think. Now, Michael is the chief executive of AgForce. G-U-E-R-I-N. It was just, well, as I said, refreshing to hear this totally different account as to where we might be in a couple of years if indeed we have some reasonably good fortune pursuing other markets outside of China.